You're listening to the White Hot Magazine of Contemporary Art podcast. Visit us online at whitehotmagazine.com. The best art in the world since 2005.
Hello, this is Brian Leo, and I am sitting here right now with Susan Ely. Susan Ely runs a gallery called Susan Ely Fine Art, located at 190 Orchard Street. So there's a current exhibition up right now entitled Fire and Flurry, and it features artists Dee Dee O'Connell, or Deirdre O'Connell, and Jackie Schatz. I learned about the show from Jackie Schatz's post on Instagram, and I've corresponded with Jackie Schatz on and off over the last couple years, I think since 2020, and I was happy to see that Susan Ely Fine Art was open on a Sunday on Orchard Street at her new spot on the Lower East Side. This is your second exhibition, Susan, and would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure. So thank you for the intro. I'm delighted to be speaking with you here for White Hot Magazine's podcast. We did open on the Lower East Side 3 months ago, and you're right, this is just our second exhibition there. But I established the gallery in 2006, so almost 17 years ago now, on the Upper West Side. And we temporarily closed that space during the pandemic. And I opened a pop-up space on Warren Street in Hudson, New York, right in the center of the Hudson Valley. And that was meant to just be a temporary spot, but we were having so much fun and it was so successful. So that's still open. And I've moved the Upper West Side space down to the Lower East Side.
Right. So just to clarify, Susan Ely is currently running two separate gallery spaces. Oh, I mean, it's two separate gallery spaces under the name Susan Ely Fine Art.
Yeah, right? Which might be really dumb or hopefully really smart, but it's certainly challenging and a lot of work.
Yeah, so there's the spot which I mentioned that features the current exhibition Fire and Flurry, down on 190 Orchard Street. And the other exhibition is on Warren Street in the Hudson Valley, which Susan opened up during the pandemic. Was it June 2020?
July 2020.
Right. So that in itself to open, or, well, I mean, it originally was a pop-up space at Warren, you were saying, right?
Yes.
On Warren Street. And during the pandemic, I know that you felt at some point in 2020 that you wanted to get back to seeing work on the walls and having some real interactions, physical interactions, like people actually physically being able to visit an actual exhibit, right?
Yeah.
Because you had, with your Upper West Side space during the pandemic, you had conducted like online programming.
Well, we really closed that space down, and the online programming that we were doing was all digital. So we had virtual exhibitions like so many galleries were doing. So,
yeah.
And virtual artist talks and lots of Zoom artist panels and collector panels and discussions. And it was fine and it was interesting enough.
So do you remember that moment around, I guess, March 2020 when online viewing room and people just like trying to create virtual like exhibitions, and there was by appointment in some physical spaces still, like you know, where it was, I guess, relegated to like just like five people per hour or things like that, or, you know, like,
yeah
like people could view every few minutes and things. So so you felt a need and you saw an opportunity to go up to Hudson Valley in upstate New York to feature art. What was the first exhibit that you conducted over there in 2020 of July?
I think that it was a group show, because I didn't know anything about how people would respond and if people would even come out of their homes and go to shows.
Were these your artists from the Upper West Side?
Yes, they were from our regular group of artists. So we have 24 artists on our website who we represent. And of the 24, 18 are women, I want to point out. 75% of our roster are female artists.
Yes.
So we drew from that group of artists because I wanted to start with artists who were well established with us, who I knew well, and that's how we began there.
Your gallery is a female-run space. Your, I guess your, what's Presley's position
Presley,
again?
She's a gallery assistant, and then I have an assistant director. So Presley runs the New York Lower East Side space, manages that. And her name is Presley Parker, recent grad from UT Austin, and she's wonderful and fabulous. And then we have Liz Lawrence, who is assistant director of the whole gallery under me, and she runs the Hudson space.
Right.
And she has a master's in curatorial studies from Bard. So she was local, so it was really wonderful to find her and hire her because she had lots of local knowledge and had come up through school there.
Right. So going back to the group show that you, I guess you had your inaugural show up on Warren Street in Hudson Valley. What was the experience like? Was there an opening for that show?
Oh, yeah.
There was?
Trying to think back now. I believe we had a reception. Everyone was in a mask. And people came in. And you know, slowly the other retail shops on Warren Street were reopening. And I always thought that a gallery was a great place during the pandemic because people come in and they don't touch anything and you don't have to get very close to people and you can stand in front of a wall and look at a painting without handling anything. So it wasn't like a home goods store where people come in and, you know, spread germs everywhere and touch.
Right.
So we managed to, there were definitely a few events in the beginning where we had RSVP only and you had to check in with us at the door, and when I felt there were too many people like for a reception or a talk, people had to wait outside. But we were fortunate in that it was summer when we opened, so we could keep our door open and there was good ventilation.
And I
had a wonderful landlord who have a wonderful landlord who gave me, you know, a short lease so I could experiment.
Right. So, you know, I admit that I have not been up to Hudson Valley to check out the art scene there, and I have been hearing about it for the last few years. I did share with you that I know Julie Torres, who runs, what is it, Lab Space, with her partner, who I don't think I know.
Ellen, she's fabulous. They're
right.
Both great.
So you are familiar with the community there and different...
Yes.
Exhibition spaces?
Yeah, so there are, Hudson, which is the name of the town, has over a dozen contemporary art galleries, and we all do really different things, so it's just a great group of gallerists up there. And then there are big institutions, of course, like Storm King, Dia Beacon, Olana, Thomas Cole House, Art Oh My, which is like a mini Storm King. It's a sculpture garden that's a little north of Hudson. And in addition to those institutions, there are a lot of art initiatives that have kind of cropped up, like the Hudson Eye, which is an annual festival which we're part of. There's Upstate Art Weekend, which is run by Helen Toomer, who's now just been appointed director of a new photo art fair that's going to be in New York at the Javits Center in September. So we're a great group of people up there, and I think there's such a collaborative spirit. And because we're a small community, although growing, but we all know each other, we all support each other. And I started with two other art dealers up in Hudson a gallery crawl, which is the second Saturday of every month. We all stay open late. And that's been wonderful to be a part of as well. So yeah, it's a different experience from then opening up here on the Lower East Side where I'm one in 500, you know.
Right. So what's the art weekend? Because it's the second Saturday of every month, and it's not Upstate Art Weekend. It's
no,
the
those
Hudson
are different.
Eye, or...
Those are different things. So
oh,
there's
okay.
Second Saturday
oh, I see.
Of every month. galleries and also boutiques and shops stay open late. And in the winter it's till 8 and in the summer it's till 9 and we all keep our doors open and we have bands playing on the street and it's a lot of fun.
So at Susan Ely Fine Art in the Hudson Valley, you had shown Jackie Schatz there, right?
Yes.
And you've been working with the artist Deirdre O'Connell for maybe more than 10 years?
More than 10.
So you had shown her work in the Upper West Side spot as
yes.
well.
Yes.
So you curated this show, Fire and Flurry, which is, again, located on 190 Orchard Street at Susan Ely Fine Art, you know, on the Lower East Side. You curated the show, a two female artist show, Deirdre O'Connell and Jackie Schatz. Which one is Fire and which one is Flurry?
That's a good question. So we actually took the titles from titles of their artwork.
Mm-hmm.
So this piece of this African-American woman standing with her arms crossed with sort of a gold crown, that's Fire. And Flurry, and that's by Deirdre O'Connell, that's a painting. And this lovely ceramic sculpture by Jackie with lots of different colors, kind of it's fantasy-based. She's not a real person, sort of a fictional, almost like a fairy. She's called Flurry.
Yeah, you know, I was kind of half-joking if one of them was Fire or Flurry or just, you know, both of them were. But for some reason, I do kind of think of Jackie Schatz's show as not fluffy, but I mean Flurry. Like, so Flurry as in like, I do, Flurry makes me think of like something that's fluffy and also something that's like blurry too. So
yeah.
It's like, Flurry is like, you know, like a lot of snow falling down.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Well, all of that I think you can interpret, and it is in Jackie's work. It's,
yeah.
Her work is about movement. It's about fairy tales and fantasy and flurries, you know, snow flurries or wind or weather. You know, I own a piece by Jackie called Wind, and it has so much movement in it. And Jackie used to dance ballet, and she does talk about incorporating movement of a dancer into all of her sculptures.
Yeah, I may be slightly impartial because, again, I found out about the show through Jackie Schatz, and I have been speaking with her for the last couple years, so I am familiar with Jackie's work, but this is the first time that I've seen it in person since...
Mm. So
actually,
what did you think when you saw it in person?
It's similar to the way you're describing it. I from whatever I saw online on Instagram, I always appreciated the scale. I do like small scale work that's intimate, and to be able to approach it in a gallery space. Up close with, I was able to interpret or perceive the work a little differently than how it's depicted online. Of course, as so much art is, very different seeing in person, right? Than seeing like image,
of course,
like,
yeah.
Reproduced.
Well, especially sculpture.
Yeah, like I was able to. I mean, from even looking at it now, yeah, I can make out certain. It looks more abstract when it's reproduced on print or printed out and online. And in person, I notice that each sculpture is either an animal or like a humanoid
mm-hmm.
figure.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's a lot of... Jackie likes to think of her work as painting and sculpture, right? So there's beautiful palette of color. That, you know, enhance the pieces as I,
She does talk about them being painting and sculpture at the same time, because while they are three-dimensional objects, they sit on the wall, but you're not meant to just look at it just from the front. You're meant to kind of look at it from the side, and limbs protrude from everywhere, and a skirt might be looking like it's blowing in the wind. And you mentioned the color in the work. So she begin, each piece is, I'm guessing, about 6 to 8 inches tall. They're quite small. And she begins with us. She hand makes a ceramic sculpture, and you talked about part human, part animal. She loves those liminal spaces between man-made and nature, human and animal, movement and stillness. She's finding those spaces between all those extremes. And then, so she makes the sculpture, she fires it, she has a kiln in her studio, and then she paints it with acrylic paint, and she intentionally does not glaze them because she doesn't want that high sheen mm-hmm. that you'll see on a lot of ceramics.
Mm-hmm.
She wants them to look rough-hewn, and she wants you to see
kind
the texture.
Brittle and plastery in a way, but they're, yeah like, or that effect.
As if they've been dug up from an archaeological site.
Mm-hmm.
She very much wants you to feel that, as if there's a treasure that you've discovered.
Right. And since you've worked with Deirdre O'Connell for more than 10 years?
Yeah, so Deirdre, we call her...
Do you want to speak a little bit about...
Yeah, we call her Dee Dee. That's what everyone calls her. And Dee Dee is an actor and a self-taught painter. So she's actually not just any old actor. She won a Tony Award last year for a one-woman show called Dana H, which was an astounding piece of theater. And the show was closed during the pandemic, and then it was revived again at the end of the, in the last year, and that's when she won the Tony for it, when it moved to Broadway. But Dee Dee, as a painter, always plumbs her world of theater. So the first couple of years that I showed her, her paintings were all based on Chekhov plays, and they were depicting characters in the plays, mostly women, all of whom she had played. And she just loves the playwright Chekhov. So she painted his work for many, many years. The current body of work that we're showing in Fire and Flurry is actually two series. The first one is a group of women called Eves, the Eve series, that was inspired by her participating in the March on Washington after Trump was elected. And she talks about the experience of being with a wall of women. And so during the pandemic, then she really dug into that concept and painted all these very small works on panel of individual women. And then more recently, she's painted portraits of colleagues and friends from the theater world. And they're real people, but they have a universal sense. And interestingly, many people have bought these paintings and they don't even know that these are actors or producers or directors. They just love the paintings.
Right.
So that is the that's the fire part of the exhibition.
Yeah, I read that she was inspired by the 2017 Women's March during that time. I saw online that she had a series of women with that all looked like they had masks on. Is that from one of this? Is that from?
That's because they were painted during the pandemic, so
oh, okay.
She put
so
a mask on all the Eves.
Okay, that's is that the work that's in this current Fire and Flurry though?
The work downstairs.
Yeah.
All the work that's framed.
The work downstairs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're all masked.
The ones upstairs though are from the colleagues that you're that.
Yes.
Okay, so you have, it's also worth noting that that's Susan Ely Fine Art on 190 Orchard Street. There are two floors. Of exhibition space, so it's a great space with white floors and in both spaces, and it's I like the fact that the scale of the work and kind of the intimacy and the display of everything looks just very conducive to the work. It complements it. It fits it really well.
Thank
so,
you. It's going to be really interesting to hang various shows there to see how things look. We have had a lot of small art so far, but we showed Lisa Pressman and James Isherwood in our first exhibition. We did have some quite large pieces, and that looks great on those very white walls, small walls as well. And it's exciting to have two floors. I mean, that's sort of a gift that you can really essentially do two solo shows at the same time Or they can thematically relate, like Fire and Flurry.
Right. So yeah, you could have two solo shows going on upstairs and downstairs with two different artists, but yeah, at Fire and Flurry, both Dee Dee and Jackie are on each floor, each level of the gallery. So we did mention, you know, the roster, the stable of artists that you currently have, and you're representing 24 artists, and 18 of them are female artists.
Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
As we have been talking today, I've done some research online to just see what's out there, what has been written about with, you know, gender equality in the galleries and in the museums. And, you know, so we've shared links with each other. So we've read articles on Artsy and the Brooklyn Rail and the New York Times and what other? I mean, you yourself had written an article for the Huffington Post in 2017, and it referenced gender inequality in the art world, and let's see. So
yeah, that's been very important to me. I think I, being a woman gallerist, my mother is a painter. I got into all of this watching her paint, and she's a sculptor, Carol Eisner. And I think for me, they were watching her work with massive metal pieces as a young girl. I saw there are no limits to what you can do as a woman. So I just went into this without even really thinking that I wanted to show more women than men. It has been an unintentional result of running a gallery for all these years.
It's been this organic process for you, and just totally, kind of unconscious.
Totally organic, I have to say. Just women generally are way cooler to work with in this industry. They're more responsible, professional, organized, respectful, humble. That is what my experience has been.
Right, that's interesting. Yeah, that is your experience.
And I do want to do my part as well to try to change the balance and make it more representational and more reflective of what's actually happening. So more over 50% of art students coming out of these art schools are women. And yet by the time they get into galleries, that's where you see an imbalance, that it's 30% women, 70% men in most galleries. And you can see this through reports that the Guerrilla Girls have done, that feminist activist group. And then more recently, the Gallery Tally Project, I'm probably going to mispronounce her name, Nicole Hebron's project. Mm-hmm. She highlights gender inequality in contemporary art galleries with these fabulous posters where she reveals very specific galleries, and there's percentages of male artists and female artists and the inequality there. So I pay attention to all of that. I care about that, and I'm happy to be doing in a small way our part to help correct that imbalance.
Right, yeah. It's very well documented that the top museums in the USA still have 75% work from white male artists on the walls. And there has been some research conducted on gender inequality of representation in the gallery district as well. And then you do mention the fact that 50% of art school graduates with BFAs or MFAs are females. So there's a significant percentage. This topic is something that is fascinating, is interesting, and it's, you know, I don't know if it's not my expertise, but I think that I've read from the research I've conducted today that younger galleries are consciously trying to represent more female artists and minorities to just advocate for diversity in the art world. And I think that this could just be the beginning of...
I hope so. I hope more it's starting a trend, and galleries will develop this way.
Right. So,
having said that, though,
yes,
I'm showing two men in Hudson right now, and our next show in Hudson is also going to feature two men. And I love men. I'm married to one of them.
And you have three lovely daughters?
I have three daughters, yes. But I really just want to show great art.
I think when we conversed briefly on Sunday when I visited your space, there was a point where you were running your space on the Upper West Side and you were raising the three daughters, and then I think I asked you, I mean, right now your daughters are adults now, right?
So, yes.
So there was a point where that... You felt like you could handle two galleries, or was it, do you remember us briefly talking about this?
Yeah, so I didn't open the gallery until my youngest daughter was about 7 or 8, and I knew that I couldn't do it the way I wanted to do it when they were younger. And the gallery on the Upper West Side was above our apartment in a townhouse.
Yeah, so. I was gonna ask you to, I hadn't had a chance to ever visit the Upper West Side, Susan Ely Fine Art. You were just going to describe that?
Yeah, so I had the opportunity to open the gallery in a vacant space there, and it was perfect because getting back to, again...
So was it by appointment?
No, we had hours, and I had a part-time assistant, and I had the greatest commute on the planet because I just walked upstairs, and I could mother the way I wanted to mother, and I could work the way I wanted to work, and I could go to school functions of my kids and take them to school in the morning and go to their ballet classes and recitals and mm-hmm. stuff and games. And that was always very, very important to me. So mm-hmm. While I had this dream to come downtown, I knew that I wasn't going to be able to realize that for some time. And now that they're all grown up, I can do this. And this is a lovely phase in my life. I'm almost 60. Where I have time and I can focus on my career in a different way.
It's amazing. I mean, to run two gallery spaces at one time, and that's it's admirable, and it's an easy feat.
It takes a village, and in my case, it takes having Liz and Presley, because they're dynamic, brilliant, wonderful women who are helping me achieve this mm-hmm. dream. Mm-hmm.
So, I guess we're almost about 30 minutes. So, were there any other topics that we were going to talk about? I think...
One thing that in addition to our very active exhibition program in both locations... I've done many, many art fairs over the years, and I do love art fairs, although the pandemic kind of stalled that for us, but I do want to get back to that. And another thing that's happened during the pandemic is these online marketplaces like First Dibs and Artsy have really progressed and developed, and our gallery participates in both of those and a few others as well. And having a lot of outlets for sales enables you to do this business and to be successful in this industry, because to just sit in your gallery and hope people are gonna come in may not always work. So I really try to diversify our sales channels to give the business as much opportunity as possible to be successful.
Right, You are on the Lower East Side now, on 190 Orchard Street, and I believe the foot traffic is pretty good. On the Upper West Side, you had the second floor space that had hours.
But zero foot traffic.
Yeah, I mean, just celebrities walking by in the Lower East Side. I mean, there's a chance that people can pop in and just, you're on the ground, you have a ground floor space, so it's right between what, Houston and Rivington, or?
I believe it's Houston and Stanton.
Stanton, sorry.
Yeah. So around the corner we have Katz's Deli,
yeah,
and Russ and Daughters, and a couple different subway stops, and we get lots of tourists, we get lots of locals who live there.
Yes.
Art people, and yeah, it's a lot of fun to have people just walk in.
And I guess to wrap things up, let's see, do you have any words of wisdom for maybe young artists, maybe young female artists graduating from their BFA or MFA program, maybe just whatever?
Yeah, great question. Stick with what you do and paint. Just work. Just get up every day and get in your studio or your living room or wherever you paint and work. And don't wait for a muse to pop in. You are your own muse, and just keep making work. And when you're ready and you feel that you have a body of work to show a professional, handle it as professionally as you can. And contact us. We're all looking for great artists.
Right. Yes. What about the days of people interning at spaces, and do you think that has changed since like the 80s or 90s?
I think it's better now because we pay our interns.
Yeah, yeah, you're right. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, when I was an intern, I got maybe school credit, but mm-hmm. I never got paid for my internships.
Yeah.
But now you have to pay.
Right, right.
And I think internships are a great way to get your foot in the door.
Foot in the door. Mm-hmm.
For sure.
Yeah. So your next opening, well, this current show, Fire and Flurry, will close on February 11th, 2023.
Yep.
And your next opening will be?
A week later. We don't waste any time. So February 16th on the Lower East Side, we're going to be opening a show called Posturing, and it's going to feature two artists, Kathy Osborne and Bradley Wood, and they both are figurative painters. They both have quite a dark side, actually. Their work is both funny, sarcastic, very dry. They're fabulous painters. And here we have one man and one woman we're showing. So I have shown them together before with another figurative painter in Hudson. But this will be the first time I'm showing both of them in New York City, in this space.
Okay, and that opening will be from 6 to 8 p.m.?
Correct.
All right, and it's February
16th.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you to Noah Becker for allowing us to conduct this discussion/interview.
And thank you, Brian. It was a pleasure to speak with you. And thanks, Noah.
Yeah. Thank you, Susan Ely. All right.
Bye.
So we'll see you around. Bye.